From Philadelphia, it's Torah Talk. Hello everyone, I'm Michael Karasik, and this week we are reading Parshat Acharei Mot, Leviticus 16 through 18, on its own, separate from Parshat Kedoshim, because this is a Jewish leap year with extra weeks to fill. And what I want to look at this week is Leviticus 18. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the Israelite people, and say to them, I, the Lord, am your God. You shall not copy the practices of the land of Egypt where you dwelt, or of the land of Canaan to which I'm taking you, nor shall you follow their laws. My rules alone shall you observe, and faithfully follow my laws. I, the Lord, am your God." And the chapter ends by saying, "Do not defile yourselves in any of those ways, for it is by such that the nations that I am casting out before you," from Canaan, that is, "defiled themselves. I, the Lord, am your God." What are those ways by which the nations of Canaan defiled that land? You're going to have to open up your Bibles to read about them, because all of them are unsuitable for mentioning on a podcast that children might be listening to. They are all about sleeping with the wrong person, except for one. That's the one we're going to look at today. We've looked at it in the past, but from a different angle today. Today, it's verse 21 of Leviticus 18. "Do not allow any of your offspring to be offered up to Molech, and do not profane the name of your God. I am the Lord." So what does this expression mean, to profane the name of your God? I'm going to remind you that when the Bible says, "I am the Lord," and you see "Lord" in small caps, the Bible doesn't actually say, "I am the Lord." The Bible says, "Ani," and then it quotes God's personal name, the tetragrammaton, the four letters that are on God's driver's license. God is a job description, YHWH, or the Hebrew equivalence of that, is how God spells his own name. And that is the name that you are being warned not to profane in Leviticus 18:21. Nowhere else in the chapter, and in fact, nowhere before this in the Torah. This is the first place we encounter the phrase to profane the name of God. Now here's a little bit of something from Baruch Schwartz's introduction to his Leviticus commentary in the Jewish Study Bible, the end of his intro. Nowhere outside of Leviticus is there a clearer articulation of the reason for the Jewish people's existence. God has entered into a relationship with the people of Israel so that they might perpetually sanctify his name. Their role in the world and in history is to attest to his existence, to publicize his oneness, and to advertise his greatness. This they are commanded to do by worshiping him and keeping his laws. When they fail to do so, his name is profaned. That is, his fame is diminished and his reputation tarnished. When they live up to this charge and duty, he and his name are sanctified. So 18:21, that's the first place in the book of Leviticus where we see this concept of profaning the name. But there are another half a dozen or so, 19:11 through 12, as Schwartz points out, falsehood in commerce and its ramifications are likely to be aggravated by false oath, thus profaning the sacred name of God. So God becomes a party to what began as a purely civil matter. Chapter 20, verses 2 and 3, "Profaned my holy name. by attributing salvific power to another deity, or by imagining that the God of Israel desires the sacrifice of children, as in our verse 18:21. 21:1 through 22:33, a big section on worship and holiness, Schwartz says, desecration of the holy redounds to God, profaning his abode and his holy name, and it brings disastrous consequences in its wake. Some specifics from that big section, 21:6, the priests offer the deity food gifts, so any desecration of their persons would profane the name of God. Chapter 22, verse 2, allowing impurity to come into contact with the sacred profanes the divine name, since the divine abode and the food gifts of the deity are thereby treated as though they were common. And you shouldn't think, by the way, of profane as something to do with profanity. It's a technical term. Profaning, meaning profaning, is the opposite of sacralizing. Holy is one thing, and what is not holy is profane. Not necessarily negative, but if you do it to God's name, it is. Okay? And finally, 22:31 through 33, the purpose of Israel's existence, says Schwartz, is to sanctify God's name, that is, to attest to his existence, to publicize his oneness, and to advertise his greatness by worshiping him and keeping his laws. Their failure to do so has the opposite effect. His name is profaned, that is, his fame is diminished and his reputation tarnished. Baruch Levine in the JPS Torah commentary points out, oaths are sworn in God's name, and one who swears falsely treats God's name as if it were not holy. This is the sense of the verb vechilalta, literally, you will profane, in our verse. That's, of course, in his comment to 19:12, the verse about swearing in God's name to a falsehood. And Ibn Ezra, in his comment to 20, verse 3, says, profaned my holy name, what's going on there, when the other nations hear about it. That's diminishing God's fame and tarnishing his reputation. Well, let's turn back to Baruch Schwartz one more time for his introduction to chapters 17 through 26. Over the last couple of podcasts before Passover, I mentioned that in Tazria and Metzora, when they are split the way they were split this year, you're actually splitting a long section, chapters 13 and 14, that really goes together about, quote-unquote, leprosy. It's tzara'at, of course, in the Bible. But this parasha, acharei mot, is actually joining together two enormous sections of the book of Leviticus without really saying anything about doing so. Here is Baruch Schwartz introducing chapters 17 through 26. Scholars agree that chapters 17 through 26, along with some other passages in Leviticus and elsewhere in P, the priestly literature, belong to a literary stratum distinct from the remainder of the priestly work. On substantive and stylistic grounds, it appears to have been composed by priestly authors other than those responsible for the remainder of P. Its most characteristic feature is a concern for holiness, and although Schwartz does not say so in the little paragraph on the handout, it is therefore called by scholars H, the Holiness Code. Telling you all this to prepare you for the comment of Jacob Milgram on our phrase, not desecrating the name of your God. Of the 75 loci of the root Chet Lamed Lamed in the Bible, says Milgram, 50 are concentrated in priestly texts and Ezekiel. Yet of those 50, 49 are found in H and Ezekiel, and only one in P. The statistics reveal more. The idiom desecrate the name, Chilel Shem, occurs 6 times in the Holiness Code, 9 times in Ezekiel, 4 times elsewhere, not once in the other priestly literature. Both P and H have pericopes dealing with false oaths, but whereas the P labels this offense as Ma'al Badonai, H condemns it as Chilel Shem Adonai. This leads ineluctably, that's a great word, ineluctably to the conclusion that desecrating the name is H's term for Ma'al, desecration, as it's called in the rest of the priestly literature. But, says Milgram, why is only Molech worship and not the other things in this chapter called desecrating God's name? We'll leave that question for another time, but we will go to another place where another thing is called a desecration of God's name in Jeremiah 34. Thus said the Lord God of Israel, picking up with verse 13 there, I made a covenant with your fathers when I brought them out of the land of Egypt, saying, in the 7th year each of you must let go any fellow Hebrew who may be sold to you. You know about this from the very beginning of Exodus chapter 21. What happened in Jeremiah's day is that they did so, and then, as Jeremiah accuses them in God's voice, verse 16, but now you have turned back and profaned my name. Each of you has brought back the men and women whom you had given their freedom and forced them to be your slaves again. And perhaps the answer there is because you broke a deal with God, and that makes God look bad, thereby profaning his name and sullying his reputation, perhaps. Now I'm going to point you to a column on thetorah.com by me. I don't quote myself on the podcast very often, but I want to rope in the book of Deuteronomy here. Longtime listeners will understand why. In the presence of God, where is that in the presence of God? I say in this column on thetorah.com, Deuteronomy is careful never to say that the Lord will choose a place as God's home. The place that YHWH will choose appears 18 times in Deuteronomy. 8 of those times it merely says that he will choose it and tell the Israelites what to do there, but 3 occurrences say that he will put his name there, and 6 others use an even more loaded term. He will make his name dwell there. Shin, Kaf, Nun, Shachein, which of course is the same root that gives us the Hebrew word Mishkan, the tabernacle. But according to the priestly source in the Torah, the tabernacle has that name because that is where YHWH himself dwells, not his name. And that's made clear at the very beginning of Parshat Truma, Exodus 25:8. YHWH tells Moses precisely why he wants all these goodies from the Israelites. Let them make me a sanctuary, and I will dwell among them. Well, Jacob Milgram says further in the introduction to his Leviticus commentary, it is indisputable that there are no traces of D's language or concepts in H, D Deuteronomy, H the Holiness Code. No trace of D language or concepts in H. The reverse proves otherwise. There's ample evidence that Deuteronomy is dependent on and reacting to the Holiness Code. I'm very reluctant, somewhat frightened to try to argue with Jacob Milgram, who knew so much more than I do, but longtime podcast listeners know that I'm firmly convinced that the Holiness Code is a priestly voice that knew the Deuteronomic viewpoint and is trying to integrate it with priestly concerns, and that explains why not until now in Parshat Acharei Mot, when the Holiness Code has begun, do we finally find for the first time this concept of desecrating the name of your God. It's not hard to imagine someone doing something horrible and desecrating the tabernacle, but desecrating the name, what's that about? It's got to be, I think, a priestly concern tied in with the Deuteronomic view that what is connected to the tabernacle / temple is God's name. How does Jeremiah fit into this picture? Who uses that phrase for the Israelites who freed their slaves in some sort of technicality and then all took them back and thereby desecrated the name? The same way Ezekiel is very drenched in priestly concepts, the book of Jeremiah is drenched in Deuteronomy and the Deuteronomic history. But let's go back and read the first verse of the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah 1:1. The words of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, one of the priests at Anatot in the territory of Benjamin. Was Jeremiah the priest who combined his priestly learning with Deuteronomy to create the Holiness Code? I'm not going anywhere near that, or at least no nearer than I have already gone. I'll be back with you next week for Parshat Kedoshim. Until then, this is Michael Karasik saying thank you for listening.